hear my cry. Turn unto my prayer. From the end will I cry unto thee. And when my heart is overwhelmed, hallelujah, lead me to the rock. There is fire in the when my heart is overwhelmed, Lord Jesus, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter unto me, and a strong tower from enemy. And when my heart is overwhelmed, Lord Jesus, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, that is higher than I. And when my heart is overwhelmed, oh Lord, lead me to the rock. Hallelujah. Gracious Heavenly Father, you have heard our cry, Abba Father, and we are thankful, Lord, that you're so mindful of us. Lord, you have sent a message out many years ago, and each and every one of us, Father, who have heard it, we have heard the voice of the bridegroom calling out. Boy color, boy color, boy Beshalom. For the voice calling us, Father, calling for the bride to come in peace. To into your kupa, to be with thee, oh, our Lord, Master, and Savior. To be able to enter into that chamber and just to feast with you, Lord, and just to have that intimacy, to just to look at your face, just to behold your face, that lovely, lovely face. How can we ever forget, Father? Of what you have done for us. To send someone from the very heart of yours. All that you are, Father. Agape. The life. To give us your only begotten Son. And that Calvary, you sacrifice him that we may have life. Not just life, Lord, but life abundantly. We thank you, Lord. Yet in this world of trouble, Father, there's a lot of pain. This world is so sick. But yet we know you call us to come. Boi b'shalom. And we come to thee, Lord, in peace, because you give us that peace. When the world is in turmoil, when our life is upside down, because you never promised us a bed of roses, Father. For one rose, there's so many thorns in life. But you want us to understand that this is a race to be run. A pathway of light, eternal light. You call us to carry our own cross and to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. If our Lord had done all that he had done, Father, in his life when he was on earth, he carried such a heavy load. And yet, Father, he grumbled not. He failed not. He pressed on. Did he finish up at Calvary? And he said, it is finished. It is finished. And if our Lord had done that for us, Father, his strength be upon us. We know, Lord, he promises that. My grace is sufficient for thee. And we know in this life, Father, we carry our cross and follow him. We may staggle and fall, but he is always there, Father, to stretch forth his hand and lift us up, encouraging us to go on, fulfilling this life journey. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you. We bless the holy name for all of these things, O Lord, that you have done for us and given to us. So now, Father, as you approach thy word, give more enlightening, Father. Bring us to remembrance, O Lord, the things that we have learned in the past. For I know that, Lord, many probably have forgotten and probably have not lived up to that life that is expected of thee, Father. So I ask that you grace our life today. For this I ask, Lord, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. My subject today, I don't know how many services that I will have to take. But I want to go slow. I have no intention to rush through. Sometimes when I preach so fast, I get very breathless and tired very easily. I'm no longer, you know, in my 30s. I'm in my 70s now. When I was in my 30 years, I jump and I shout, I preach hard. But now I'm already twice that age or more. And I was so discouraged to hear what one of the believers told me years ago. He said, "Barragan, I don't like your preaching now because you don't preach the way you used to preach." You know, I was thinking, how can an old man walk? How can an old man run the way that he ran, the way that he ran when he was young? You know. And even have Jesus told Peter one time before when he told him, "Feed my sheep." And then he told Peter, he said, "When you are young, you can dress yourself. But when you are old, someone has to do that for you and lead you by the hand. A man cannot always be young, neither a woman. We will continue until every cell of this body decays and go back to dust. So there is a progress of going up to a peak and then we're going to go down. Is that all right? So today my message is the life of the body of Christ. Yesterday I was out in the morning, in the early morning, I went out there to the exercise park and I had to do my walk and do my exercise. And then I met a man who was having the same place where they have all this equipment. So he was doing one of the equipment the other way around. Instead of pulling it down, he wanted to push it down. So I said, I never thought of it, so I just talked to him. And we came to a conversation and found that he is a Christian that goes to a charismatic church, a new creation, I think. Now we got to talk to another and give me a testimony. And he told me that when he went to church the first time, he doesn't know what's going on, but he enjoyed the sermon. And there's one thing that he still remembers, one verse that he remembers very, very well, is John 3:16. And I realized that he been a Christian in that church, I don't know for how many years. But the thing is that in my conversation with him, I realized that, you know, like many in the denomination, they are not really taught how to really divide the word. Yeah, I told him, I said, the pastor is a good pastor. Yeah, he preaches well, he's international. But as I said, we normally know that people are in, it's human nature to look at the big, large church or organization and think that that must be true. Like every one of us here, we want to go to eat, find good food. You think the bigger the queue, it must be a good food. Right? I once went to one, it doesn't taste good. Those are always true. You see, so the thing is this, is that talking with him and I was just trying to get him to understand something. Let us go to the book of John 3:16. I want to, first of all, before I go into this, the life of the body of Christ, I want to rightly divide the word for you. Because that's the way I do things. Alright? So I want you, we are very familiar, we are well acquainted in John 3:16. How many of you do not know John 3:16? How many of you do not even remember how to remember the verse well? Yeah, if I ask you to recite to me John 3:16, you probably cite it wrong too. Alright, so John 3:16, I want you to look at certain words in that verse. And then we will look and analyze, because I want to deal with this life of the body of Christ. Not just any Christian. Because in my talk with him, he agrees that many people, you know that there is a heaven in the Christian faith. But the way he was saying it seems that the other religions don't have a heaven. Kind of strange, you know. And he was telling me that he knows that some people, when they are dying, and you tell them the gospel, you know, about going to heaven, about believing in Jesus, and many of them say, yeah, they believe. And then they die. And he knows that there are a lot of people, they want to go to heaven, and they on their deathbed, because of fear. And that is true, isn't it? Because people don't know where they're going. You see. And having a conversation with him to make him to understand that not all people who call themselves Christian are Christian. You know. And he agreed with that. You see. And we were talking about these big churches out there. And I told him very frankly that I know people who told me, and I believe that probably some of you, a colleague, will have, or you probably have heard from them, that they go to church to look for girls. Huh? Yeah. Look for maybe for the woman to go there to look for a handsome man or somebody to be a husband. And I told him also that in the survey, I think back in the 80s, I can't remember now, they did the population of the Singapore. I told you about the different religion, and they found that, if I remember back in the 60s when I was around, the population of Christian is about 8%. Then they go up to 10%, then to 20%. But today, there is very high percentage of Christians in Singapore, more than 20%. You know? And the survey was done, and then one of the questions, as I said, this was asked of this Christian. And the question is this: when you grow older, will you still be holding to this faith of yours? And the survey came up with an answer. It was, I'm not surprised. Many of them said, when I grow older, I might turn secular. Now, think about it. So what is faith? You understand that? Alright. So now look at John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This is a very simple verse that people use to preach the gospel. But I want you to look at the word here. For God so loved the world. The word world is cosmos. Anything that is in this world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Discussion with men like that man yesterday or others that have discussed, always talk to them. What do you mean by the word believe? It says that whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. What does it mean to believe? Now, a lot of people say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. I know I was told that I'm a sinner. Yeah, I believe I did bad thing. You know, I have to repent. Yes, I'm Lord, I'm sorry. I did all these things. Then you take him and say, yeah, yes, Lord, you be my Savior. They said the Lord's Prayer, and it seems, as I said, the Lord's Prayer confirms it that you are a Christian. And I said, we already know that Billy Graham made a very good statement. So I go to a city, I spend 6 days there at a convention, 6,000 people come to the forward to the altar and say the Lord's Prayer. So when I come back 6 months later, something like this, 6 months later, I think he said that, well, I find six out of the 6,000 that are still faithful and believing the word. A lot of people are drawn by emotion. So when the Bible talks about this word, world, for God so loved the world, whosoever, who is that whosoever? Whosoever means anyone? Yeah, the way of the Bible presents it that way. Let us go to another verse. Let us go to John 6:33. Alright? Chapter 6, verse 33. For the bread of God is he which come down from heaven and give life unto the world. Right now, referring to Jesus Christ, he said he's the bread of life. He come down to give life unto the world. So the word world is still the same word, cosmos. This world. Okay? Alright, let us go to Romans 11. Romans 11. And verse 11 to 13. I said then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you, Gentile, in so much as I am the apostle of Gentile, I magnify my own office. Now, maybe the word here, world, is much more, give you some understanding now. Okay? It doesn't mean world in just the same as the people out here. Because if you look at verse 11, who was Paul talking about? I said then, have they stumble that they should fall. Who is they? God forbid. But rather through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentile for to provoke them to jealousy. The Jew and you. So they are two different groups now. Okay? Then verse 12, how if the fault of them be the riches of the world? So now it seems that, oh, that's a different kind of one year the Jew, they fall. So the gospel become the riches for the Gentile, means the world. Okay, but then there's something else. So when the Bible uses the word world, be careful how we look into it. Alright. Then we go over to Luke 12. Luke chapter 12 and verse 29 to 32. Luke chapter 12, 29 to 32. And seek not ye what you shall eat or what you shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father know that you have need of these things, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is a father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom. So now what we have here is that verse 3, all these things do the nation of the world seek after, but and your Father knows that you have need of these things. Now, so we have the Jew, the Gentile, that's the world, and then Paul talks about it. Don't be like the world. They are seeking for all these things. The Father knows what. Now it's narrowing down to that out of the world there is an elected people that is pulled out. First the Jew, they fall, go to the Gentile or to the world. And why will Gentile get the gospel? And yet in the world the Gentile are seeking for those things, but here the Father knows you have need of this thing. So now we have an understanding that the world, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son to whosoever believe is the word believe means to have a complete trust in the Lord. And this can only be even for those whom God have called. Do you know? We know that, don't we? So now in the gospel preaching, it's also simple. But when we really get deeper into the word, that's what I was trying to share with that man. I guess he's kind of a little bit afraid. Because I was talking here for an hour, you know. And you're asking me, you know, about my health. And he was telling me about his health, why he became a Christian and all that. He was 65, you know, he's 58 years old, but he looked like he's older. Because he got a health problem too. So I talked with him. And when it comes to about vaccination, this and that, and I said, why don't vaccinate, you know, this and that. And finally, when we discussed, I told him, my faith is entirely in the Lord. Because it is not about your vaccine that saves you, you know, it can't save you. Huh? Some people take vaccine, they still get infected. You see. So like I told you the last time, whether you get vaccinated or not, it is not the vaccine that saves you or if you're not vaccinated, doesn't mean that you don't get it. Anyone can get even vaccine. But the thing is that as Christian, our trust and our walk is always with the Lord. Walk with Him. Always. You see. And then when I was talking to him and sharing with him a little simple thing about the Godhead and all this, he was wondering, you know. Yeah, the Bible said so, you know, as usual. You know. And we talked about it, and he said, about the rapture. And I said, yeah, the rapture is real, you see. And what do you think of happened in the rapture? He said, you just disappear. I said, oh, so you are standing here, you disappear, and your trousers drop off, your glasses drop off, and everything drop off. Or you're in the bus, and I'm in the bus with you, and you're Christian, we disappear, people are looking, whoa, you know. Or if you're the pilot, or you're the bus driver, what happened? You're in the car driving. Think about it. The world will be chaotic, right? Now make him think a little bit. You know, the thing is this, brother and sister, what we have, God has called us out from the system. Huh? He actually called out in Hebrew that used the word early on. Boy, kalo, kala, boy, kala, come bright, come bright. Boy, but shalom, come in, peace. You know, when we are out there in the world, whether it's a system, whether it's a religious system, whether it's our faith in the denomination, a lot of Christians are still not stable. It's because they do not have the foundation in the world. Huh? Why do we sing a song earlier on? Hear my cry, O Lord. And when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. My, I can only fathom so much. But if, and that's why another song that we sing early on, you know, when things are not going well, it's human nature to shout out the things to do. We want to do the things that we want to do to safeguard ourselves, this and that. And, you know, it's human nature. But the thing is this. When we have, as we sing the song, lead us to the rock that is higher than that. Lead us to the revelation that is far above us. Thing that we can receive from you that we can understand. It is because of the message that God sent to get us up from the system. This Bible of mine became a new Bible. It is not like another time when I was in a denomination, when I read it, I had to use that 16 fundamental truth when I was in the examines of God. I used that as a guide in my back of my head. So when I came out from that, there is no more guide with that. The only thing is that the Holy Spirit leads. Huh? When my heart is overwhelmed with this doctrine, what is happening now, Lord? You said I need to be baptized in Jesus' name, but I was baptized in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. So what's wrong with that? You know. And I don't know that, you know, I don't know whether that man will go and seek the pastor out and question, you know. Now, I remember last time when we have a public meeting over in the Automobile Association of Singapore also. And these people came and, you know, we have literatures up there, paid books up there, and people take it and, you know, went home and read. So, what happened? There was someone that called me up on the phone. And he said, I agree with you that water baptism in Jesus' name is in the Bible. So I said, what do you want to do with it? He said, well, I will talk to my pastor about it and find out. So I said, okay. So he came back a few days later on the phone and told me, you know, my pastor said, either way is okay. It's just like my friend just said the same, either way is okay. And I asked the man yesterday, I said, how many interpretations? He knows, he said, the Bible is one, you know, but there are so many different interpretations out there. I said, yeah. So how many interpretations is there in the Bible? He said, one. And now I'm showing him the scripture about Matthew 28:19 and Acts 2:38. You see. So now, he probably be overwhelmed, don't know what to do. Perhaps he's going to ask, I have no idea. But what we are looking at. We are looking at today is the life of the body of Christ. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 33. Now we are all familiar with the Lord's Supper. And we know that we are under COVID measurement and this and that. So we'll be quite well before we can come together to partake of the communion. But let's read from verse 23 to 33. For I have received of the Lord that which also I deliver unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take it, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do you remembrance of me. And this is one of the admonition that we always need to remember. Jesus broke the bread and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. This is my body. Alright? After the same manner also he took the cup which he has supped, saying, the cup is the new testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread. Now, this is given to the disciple, right? There was instituted to the disciple. The bread, this is my body, take, eat it. This cup is the covenant in the New Testament. So, you bless it, drink it. This is my blood. And then he said, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let the man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Now everyone here, every one of us, we are part of the body of Christ. Now whether we are an assembly here locally in Singapore, whether there be another one out there in Singapore, there are others out there in Philippines or Africa, whatever they may be. Every local assembly. Now, the one thing about it is that, you know, we read in the Bible, the word church, huh? It comes from the word ecclesias, you know, which means the call out. And I found that the word church was translated the way it was translated as the word church was because, well, you know, of the Catholic and the Anglican churches back those times, they always called church. So they translated as church instead of call out or assembly. You know. So every one of us here, we are an assembly. An assembly means an assembly of believers that are called out from the world. So now, we as a group, having fellowship with them in the ministration of the of an elder or pastor, we are sovereign in ourselves, representing the body as whole. So when we take the cup, or when we take the bread, don't think that we are just here. We are thinking also that there are others. But yet, as a local body, whenever we take the bread or drink of that cup, we as a local body must interact. Huh? So when the Bible talks about discerning the body, if we come and we take out the bread, now I'm not just talking about necessarily about that bread that we take in communion, but when we come and we take the bread, this is bread of life. Right? Now when we eat of this bread, okay, we are also drinking of the life that the blood was shed. Because this is the bread of life. The other symbolism, huh? Okay? When Christ died on the cross, his body, he was pierced, blood and water came forth. And from that side came forth the bride. Think about it. So when we take of this bread, every time we come together, we fellowship over the eating of this bread. You believe and I believe. The question is, are we discerning the body? It has been often over the years in my ministry, you know, in this fellowship here for how many years since 71, and it grows. And I don't know whether to say it or not, but sometimes maybe I should just say it because it's a fact. You know, like a sister told me again, you know, when I first came to Brother Gunn's church, oh my, after quite some time I realized one thing, Brother Gunn has strange people in the church. believer, Christian that don't even behave like Christian. You know, that is very true, because why? That's a good observation, that's very true. If you go to a big church, there are thousands of people. Think about it. Do you interact with everyone? No. Because this church that is small, you interact practically with everyone. Correct? Do you understand? And that is fiction.
Huh? You go to one church, for example, there is 2,000-3,000 people. Out of the many 3,000-4,000 people, how many do you really know? Do you know everyone? No. The old folks will gather among the old folks. The young one will get among the young one. The one that always like to go party will go gather together to party. After service, let's go to Clarky, eh? You know what I'm saying? That's what this went on. You see. So you don't have that kind of a problem. The people you go down there, you see, well, not much a problem. But when you have a small little group, oh yes, you notice the behavior of every individual very well. And so, yes, and that's very true. Even as Bob Lamb said, we were three kinds of believers, huh? In the assembly. The unbeliever, the make-believer, and the believers. Unbeliever, you know, you can tell they're not believer, they come and they go, but the make-believer is the one that, you know, one moment they say, yeah, they believe and all that, but they act wrongly. If you claim to be a believer, you need to know, you come together, you feed on the Word of God. You are feeding on the Word of God. And then when you feed on the Word of God, you think about the other brother and sister who are feeding on the same Word. Huh? And if you say that you are a believer and you are a true brother or sister in the faith, then let us interact correctly. Let us go to Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 22-23. Ephesians 1:22-23. And have put all things under his feet and give him to be the head over all things to the church, which is the body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Ephesians 1:22-23. Now, let me just draw this simple here. Here we're talking about the body. The head and the body. Okay, we have the head. And then we have the body. Simple illustration here. Let me just let you understand. Christ is the head. We are the body. Now, in the natural, a body cannot function without the head. Is that not true? You say, no, it cannot be. It's a heart. Without the heart, you die. Well, you remove the heart, you put a heart machine on it, you still live. Agreed? Cut out your head, will you live? Remove your brain, or you just remove your brain, which you live. Can you connect anything? You remove your brain, can is there an artificial brain somewhere that can make the body move? The body is alive. Yes, because the heart is pumping blood. But that body is functionless. Because there's no instruction. Is it true? Yeah, you. I don't know whether if you ever do a dissection on frogs and things like that, or if you a dead frog, for example, if you do some electrical stimulation, the muscle move. You know that, don't you? Yeah. You say, but is it life? It is not life. So we know that we all need a head. We all have a head, and all our instruction flows from up here to tell the body. So, when we come to the word of the Lord, it's not just knowledge, but we need revelation. That is why we say, hear my cry, O Lord. You see, we can have knowledge of the Bible, but if the revelation is not there, then we don't know what to do. Revelation of the Word gives life to the Word. we know that the Bible, as Paul said, the letter is dead. The Spirit of God gives it life. So you can study, you can have all that, but we have revelation of it. Real revelation to apply it to life. See? So, the head, this is reality. But the head is okay, right?
Yeah.
The head is okay, huh? Okay. Okay, so to understand that the reality of the life, human life, of our body is all in the head. Now, the body is related to the head. So, we put the word relation. Oh man. Relation. Relationship. Okay. Relationship. Can see now? Can see? Okay. That's it. Alright, that's the body. Why? You can't see? Yeah. This is too thick. I mean, the way they're all squarish. Okay, anyway, we just continue anyway. Alright, so now, the head is, the head represents reality of life. Whatever is in here, the instruction flows to the body. In relationship to the instructions of the head. Right, now, if you hurt yourself, let's say you hurt your finger, one of your finger. How does the body react? How does the body react? The body went into a shock because of the pain, and then the other hand probably will try to soothe it, and maybe your mouth will try to blow it to cool it, right? And probably your leg will move to get some balm or do something for it. How does the body, the other parts of the body, knows about it? That your hand or your finger is hurt. It's because the signal, the head knew that this finger is hurt. And the head sent signal to the rest of the body to react to it. All these body parts, alright, have a relationship one with another because of the head. Now, you are not what we call what was that? But the saying said, no man is an island. I mean, you are not just, you as a person is not a church. Am I not right? What the Bible said, at least two or three gather together. You as alone, you cannot represent the church. Never. You see? The head, which is Christ, feed the whole body. And because of his contact with you and me, he brings us, every one of us, to understand that we need him and we need each other. This is reality. I mean, I have preached this, in fact, back in the 80s. And once in a while I talk about the importance of every one of us reacting to one another in the way that we should react as Christians. Contributing to the body. Now, the thing is this. We're not just here by ourselves as a fellowship, as an example here. But we're thinking about the other churches overseas. They too are our brothers and sisters. When there is a need, we try to help the best we can. You see that? That's the purpose of it. Because it's reality, not just here the head, and we are the body here. But the head, we are just part of the body, and there are other parts of the body in other parts of the world. You must understand this. So, all the individual, whether it's the thumb, the finger, the toes, the feet, the neck, or the arm, what part of the body gets hurt, the rest will suffer along with it. The Bible said that. One part rejoice, the rest of the body rejoice. How does it work? Oh, when you eat durian, for example. The taste in the tongue, and the body says, "Woo, this is nice." The body feels it. Feels good. It's natural. John 1:4, just to get some of these verses, may you remember them. John 1:4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him was life. So, life is from the head. Now, when we talk about the head, we are talking about the flow. The direction. Yes, the heart is that which controls the bodily life of the blood. But the heart does not give instruction. So the Bible said, we talk about, you know, when you think with your heart or you think with your mind. Now, you ask the question, right? Do you think with the mind or you think with the heart? Especially when you say to your girlfriend or your boyfriend, "I love you with all my heart." Really? Why do we say that? And the Bible gives extra. To love our Lord Jesus, our Lord, with all our heart, our mind, our soul, our spirit. Because there is, the whole thing is life. But the instruction flows from the head. And that's why we always have to look to Him. Don't look to one another. Look to Him, He's ahead. And yet, when you have a problem, the rest of the body will feel it, will know. That's what the Bible says, you know, you make a request known. And we bring it together to the Lord. Romans 8:12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtor not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you, through the Spirit, do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, we are believers. And so God so loved the world. Not that Jesus Christ loves sinners. You know, people say Jesus loves sinners. Now that's not what the Bible said. Jesus can love the world, not love sinners. He had talked to sinners. He talked to the woman. The woman who was caught in adultery. He talked to them. He talked to the drunkard. Right? What was his purpose? That they might be converted. And if you say that you are a sinner and converted, you cannot keep on sinning. Because Christ cannot love sin. He cannot. And sin is always contained in a sinner who practices it. So now you are no longer a sinner. What are you then? You are saints. Been washed, sanctified by the blood of the Lamb. In another way? Yes. Sometimes we fall, we make mistakes, and the Father is not going to judge you for that. Why? Because if you are truly born again,
Your sins are all under the blood. Right? And if you know that you have sinned against the Lord, what would you do? The Spirit will convict you. You go confess to the Father. Lord, I've sinned. Forgive me. That's why. So you see, that's so important for us to understand our relationship with Christ the Head. And it says here that we are no more debtor to the flesh. We are Christians. We are believers. We are born again believers. How can we keep on blaming on the flesh? The devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. No, the devil did not make you do it. If you do it, it means that if you keep doing it, you are adapted to the flesh, actually. You have not been delivered. Verse 13. If you live out of the flesh, you shall die. And this is a 5-year. Now, this is the book of Romans that Paul wrote about. It's all about salvation, about the gospel, about true facts. If you live after the flesh, you shall die. And people don't seem to. Do you know one of the deadly sins is gluttony? Do you know that? Yeah. So if you love to eat and eat and eat, that is living after the flesh, you will die. God did not save us to sin again. Even to take care of this body, which is a temple of the Holy Spirit. We don't abuse it. But ye, you through the Spirit do mortify. You know what mortify means anyway. Put to death. Bundle it up. Whatever word you want to use to make it clear to yourself. The deeds of the body you shall leave. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I have emphasized this many times about this verse. Don't read it the other way around. Don't read it any other way. Read it as it is. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And don't come and tell me, Brother God, I'm a Christian, I'm a child of God, I will always be led by the Spirit. No, sir. That's not true. If you are led by the Spirit, then you are the sons of God. Don't say that you are the sons of God, therefore the Spirit of God will lead me. So every time you do anything right or wrong, the Spirit of God leads you. Oh, the Lord, the Spirit lead me to go to to the Toto and buy a few dollars. Oh, the devil, the Spirit of God lead me to the casino. Really? No. But if you are truly led by the Spirit, you are definitely a child of God. Don't make it that sound the other way. Reverse the Bible verses. 1 Corinthians. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 again. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26. And whether one member suffered, all members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all members rejoice with it. So now in all reality, then we understand this. This whole, the head and this whole body. What we will say is that, life consciousness. Do you understand that? Your whole body has a consciousness from the head all the way down. That's life consciousness. We as Christians, without the head, there's no consciousness of life. When you are a sinner out there, do you know anything about God? No. But when you come to Christ, then you realize, what is life all about? That is life consciousness. In spiritually head, it is naturally for this natural body. Now, if you close your eye, you lift up your hand and you wave your hand, you know that you are doing that, right? Even though you don't see it. Am I all right? Huh? Or whenever you are sitting now and you close your eye, then you wiggle your toes. You know that your body is aware of that you are doing it. But the information is all going back to the head and back head to the toe. So the same thing as the body of Christ, the life is there. We are sensing life. Hey, brother, how are you doing today? How are you, sister? We meet each other with grief because it is consciousness of life, right? Now you go out there to a stranger you do not know. You will not say, hello, my brother. You look at you, what are you talking about? We are talking about life consciousness, our relationship with the Lord, our relationship with one another. It has to be real. If this is not real in us, as I said, you know, over the years, I mean, even now, I feel so sorry for many of these little groups out there that stay home, put on tapes of Brother Branham, and listen to Brother Branham. And like a couple of months back, I was talking to this, I don't want to mention the name, you probably know then, anyway. You know, he was a split. This was a group that was split from all the first one to the second one, the split, you know, so many groups. So, you know, I'm talking with him. I still have the text. And I was trying to share with him the reality about the fivefold ministry. Oh, he said, oh, Brother Branham said that the brother have a ministry. So, when he said the brother have a ministry, he's not referring to the fivefold ministry too. The brother has a ministry. It's very important than the fivefold ministry. So we are ministering to one another. So that's a bright ministry. Oh my. And I said this many, many times, and it's burning in my heart. One time I even had a heart attack, shouting out. People are just taking the cause of Brother Branham, not even understanding it. And they are believing in something that is completely out of context with the Word of God. The bright ministry. You don't need the fivefold ministry. The bride has a ministry. And they are there by themselves, just a few, ministering one to another. How do you get perfected? That means Paul was a liar then. For he said that God, Christ, when he ascended to heaven, he gave gifts unto men for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. I define the body of Christ until we come to the fullness of this and that stature and not be tossed to and fro. Paul must be a liar. And this all is a good. What is that type of ministry? Well, what is the ministry? What is the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor and teacher that goes out? Or they are just keeping by themselves? You know what, I think one thing I have a consolation is all my years of ministering, people who are caught up in all that is the cultic spirit. Many of them, when they came across the book, they read it and they were surprised by it. Just think. And we have Sister Bree. You know Sister Bree? You read her testimony. You know her testimony. How that she was in this big church up there, and there was a problem going on, and she left And she was, I think she said that she was 13 years away from fellowship with God. Until the Lord told him to come back, told her to come back. And she said, I believe she said something about there must be truth out there. Somebody must have the truth. She went online, she came across our website. She started reading. She was excited. And she said, I think some of you probably heard testimony. She wanted to write an email to me. And she don't want to disclose her name. But she said, when I read what Brother Gunn wrote in the end of that page about emails sending to him, yeah, if you go on my website, you know. I welcome any comment or question, but I will not reply if you do not have a name. Sister Breeze said that she was kind of a bit in her apprehension because she has already been more or less like abused in all this group with all the doctrine and all the thing that was going on. You know how that is. People are getting hurt out there. And they got hurt, but they keep quiet because of fear. Say what Brother Branham said. And I don't know how, sometimes I wonder how, what God is doing with Joseph Branham. Take a message of Brother Branham, put in a cassette, press play, and open. Oh my. What is that life? True life. Love do not revolve around Brother Branham. Love do not revolve around Paul in the Bible. Or Peter. Or any man of God for that matter. Our life revolve around the head. It's not Brother Branham. Oh my. Or even Brother Jackson, some people are really pushing him. And now they're in Nigeria, Amos. He's the chief now. Whatever I say, whatever I come up on his mouth, must be the truth. He wants all the other apostles to be under him. He wants to be the lead apostle. People out there are getting hurt. That's what happened in the past. I believe Joseph went out and mixed with this man, Amos. Got into a mess. And other churches were affected. Brother, and I said, Brother, we're going to do something. I said, I do what? I've been to Nigeria several times. I preached there. They know the truth. What else do you want me to do? Do something. Write something. And I put down the phone, I sat down, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the word religo came to my mind. And I wrote that book. And the book was distributed. People now are aware about it. That's not my brother and sister, I said this many times. Even like I told a man yesterday. I said, this is true that many Christians, you know, go to church, they hear a good sermon, and they're happy with it. But they don't study the Bible. They don't. Because they are not like the Berean. Who search the scripture to see what Paul said are true. Right. Oh, may God have mercy upon every one of us. Now, I will have to close in a little while. Every one of us here will, in this fellowship, all those who are out there in other parts of the world, who are looking at the Bible, who knows the truth, we are all members of the one body. And we are not born of flesh. To say that, you know, I know that the mayor yesterday asked me, he says, are you born a Christian? Your father, grandfather, Christian, you're born a Christian. You know, you ever hear people say, You can, you hear people say, I'm born a Catholic. Yeah, I know, okay, you're born a Catholic. I understand that. But you can never be born a Christian. Just because your father is a Christian doesn't make you a Christian. Doesn't mean that you pop up from your mother's womb and your mother is a Christian, you are a Christian. No. But that seems to be some religion. I'm born a Buddhist, maybe. I'm born a Taoist. I'm born a Hindu. I'm born a Muslim. I'm born a Catholic. But as a true Christian, there's no such thing as that. You are born a Christian. You are born again as a Christian. Not born a Christian. Is that not true? And because you're born a sinner, we're lost out there in the world. But God so loved the world that He sent His Son to come seeking for you. Remember what Jesus said? I came to seek the lost sheep of Israel. He first of all came to seek the lost sheep because the promise was given to them first. They only got salvation, but they fell. They fell. And because of their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles. Oh my goodness. Hallelujah. Yes. You know, Israel has missed the thing that we have today. They still do not know who the Messiah really is. Yeah, there are a few of them here and there. Yeah, they do believe that. They know. But in general, the nation of Israel, the woman Israel, they're still not knowing it. You know, they're still living after the flesh, so to speak, because they were looking for a Messiah to set them up as a kingdom, as a king. They've forgotten they need to save them first to clean up their mess in their life, their sin. And you know, we are Gentiles. We never have the oracles. We don't know anything about Yahweh. And here Yahweh came, seeking for us. And give us the blessing Israel refused to have. Oh my. And that's why when God sent His only begotten Son, what? To do what? To really go. To buy back. And that's the beginning of what salvation is all about. Remember Adam out there? God put him to sleep. And from his side, He took a woman and gave to him. Huh? There was supposed to be a good couple, you know, to be fruitful and multiply and bring forth children into the world. Sounds good. Now people ask me, why did God allow the fall? Why do we have all this trouble today because of the fall? God shouldn't have allowed it. But you know, God has a better plan than what we want. And God can never, never not give us a free choice. Even today, we all have free choice. Yes. That's what the Bible says. They are led by the Spirit of God. They are children of God. And whenever we are tempted, when we ever have to make a choice, what choice are you going to make? If you are led by the Spirit of God, you make the right choice. If you are not, if you are led by your flesh, you will make the wrong choice. That's true. You see. So while the crap going on, but sin came. Yep. Through the woman. Not through the man. Well, for what purpose? As Paul said in the book of Romans that, you know, God did not force it. Not willingly, but by the reason of Him. There is something other than this body of flesh. Somebody talked to me some time ago, trying to understand
between the theophany. And they were asking me, what happened to the body of Christ? What kind of body is Christ having now? And I have to give him a little brief teaching regarding the three kinds of body the Bible mentioned. The body of flesh, which is dust. And the body of spirit, which is the angel and God, the spirit body. And then there is the spiritual body. Now, when Jesus, Christ did not, as Bob and put it that way, the way he put it, you know, and Paul now used the theophany. Paul used the word heavenly body. Remember he said, when I depart from here, there is one in heaven waiting for me? Bob and used the word theophany. Because I said, the word is not right, but anyway, that's the way he tried to explain. Theo means God, right? Phine means manifestation. Now, we know that Jesus did not bypass his heavenly body because he was the Word. And he came straight from the Word to earth. We've never been to pick up or any sense of if when we are in minds of God, theophany did not exist. There are people who believe that we exist as theophany. That's not true. So we came down and then God prepared us a theophany. So when the theophany or heavenly body touches this body, it became a spiritual body. And this is what God wants to give us. I cannot walk through the wall. Angels could walk through the wall because they are spirit. I'm flesh, I cannot walk through the wall. But when I have the heavenly body touching this body, I could walk through the wall. Angel has spirit, they cannot eat. We in the flesh, we can eat. Is that right? But when we have the spiritual body, we can eat and we can move through walls. That's what God has prepared for us. And that's the reason why God allowed the fall. And then we see the reflection when Jesus came to take the bride. To call her to come out from the world of sin. And come to him as a bridegroom. To come in peace to him. How wonderful is that? Because we flow from the sight of his, flow from his sight at Calvary. He paid a price for you and me. I want you to know that. Let me just close with this. Now, because of life consciousness, we're talking about reality, Christ the head, we are the body, so there is a consciousness of life. And it is because of this consciousness of life that we are conscious of sin. Is it not? Now, if you don't have Christ in you, even right now, as an individual, if you don't have Christ in you, would you be conscious of, is there a real consciousness of sin? You go out there, you buy something, and the thing worth $4.95. You give a $10, you're supposed to get back $5.05. Am I alright? Huh? And the person gives you $6.05. Now when I was young, yes, I cheat. I told you, remember? Before I was born again, I cheat the old man who's selling the shredded ice kacang. I put it on the store and told him, I want 15 cents worth of this ice kacang. And he was doing the shredding the ice for me, and I took back 15 cents, put in my pocket. I have no consciousness of sin. I just want free
food.
Practically stealing it from him. You know what I mean?
Wow. I had no consciousness until when I was born again. Yes. I couldn't see him later on to apologize. You say, I'm sorry. I cheated you. But because now we are Christians, we are born again, we have this consciousness of sin. Because the head is Christ. He is head of your life. You may not be the whole body. You may be a finger. You may be a thumb. You may be a toe. You may be a leg. Whatever you are. You are tied to the head of Christ. And that's why you have consciousness of sin. So let us all live the life as Christ wants us to. The life of the body of Christ is real. And the Lord bless you. Father in heaven, thank you. There are much things to be shared, Lord. We know you want us to know a lot of things, to feel your presence, to know the reality of your word of life. We are thankful, Father, for this big black book, as some people call it. But we know it as the sacred scripture, the inspired word, in-breath word. You breathe into it, Lord, to, you know, upon it as your servants, Lord, in the past, sat down and wrote them. And then today we have this sacred scripture. And then, Lord, as your Spirit comes and breathes into it, and you outbreathe the life to us, we are thankful, Father. We are thankful for the reality of the presence of the Holy Spirit, of the life flowing from the head to the body. We thank you, Father, for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is seated on your right hand. And he is the head of the church of the living God. We thank you, Father. Bless the rest of the day now. Bless the word. Asking that in Jesus' name.